The TNT Shop has great gift ideas for your furry family member at tntradio.live. Welcome to Lynn's Warriors, ground zero in the war to protect our children. And now, Lynn Shaw on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Let's do this. Welcome, Warriors. This is Warrior Saturday, July 22nd, 2023, on today's News Talk 24/7 Global TNT Radio. And I am Lynn Shaw, the Warrior. And today, you are all my Warriors for the next hour and beyond. We're going to tell you what's important for you, what's happening around the United States in order to keep your kids safe, your family safe. And we're also going to touch upon a couple of things happening around the world to keep everybody safe. What you can do, what you must do, you must join us. You must learn in 2023 how to protect yourselves and your kids online and in real time. We can no longer sit on the sidelines, Warriors. I tell you this every single day. We are at the fork in the road. It is a new culture shift. Join us. Everybody can do something. Thank you for joining us. Let's settle in, listen up, get ready to take your weekly Warrior notes. You know the drill. We have so much to cover. We're coming to you live from New York City. So let's rock and roll. I always like to start the program with, you know, it may be disturbing, some of the things I say, but it's all true. I have to bring you the truth. At the Warriors, that's what we bring. We bring reality. Reality is what we bring to you. I want to start with something that I was debating. Well, maybe I'll mention it. Maybe I won't mention it. It warrants mentioning, though. We have two movies out right now. What are these movies? We have the movie Barbie, opening tomorrow in the United States. Iconic, based on the Barbie doll. And we have the movie that has been out since the 4th of July, Independence Day here in the United States, Freedom Day. And that would be Sound of Freedom. Now, you might ask yourself, why am I talking about the movies? It's very important. It is part of, I want you to think of it as everything we talk about, and there's never enough time to cover all the subjects we want to cover. I want you to think about everything as a big wheel with a lot of spokes. Every week, every day, we talk about a different spoke. You got to put all the spokes together on the wheel and make it turn. That is my analogy for today. So let's start with Barbie. Most should know the iconic Barbie doll that came into the world around 1959 was a smashing success. The toy world saw nothing like it. The doll world saw nothing like it. Fast forward. Now, 2023, the first time Mattel, which is the brand of the Barbie doll, decided to put out a full feature film about Barbie. Now, I didn't think much about this. I want to say about a year ago, I started hearing things like, oh, there's a Barbie movie, and a little bit of hype building here and there, you know, coming out of COVID and everything was kind of dead in the entertainment field. There was this little bit of buzz and excitement. Fast forward, maybe about 6 months ago, I started seeing a couple little trailers. They looked innocent enough. Barbie driving her sports car, Ken on the beach, you know, a little rollerblading, everything the doll was doing. You know, these are live action. Ryan Gosling plays Ken. These are people. This is a movie. And Margot, her name is slipping me. How interesting. Robbie, Margot Robbie, everybody. I get so worked up talking about Barbie, and I'm going to get to that in a minute. Plays Barbie. So what could be wrong with that, right? So I'm thinking about this Barbie. And I'm thinking, okay, cute. Now, fast forward. Now the movie's coming out. I want to say about 2 weeks ago, I started seeing little snippets of things online, on television. And I'm like, that's the Barbie movie? We have a binary character. We have diversity, which we all are used to these days. That's what we're being told. We have Ken, the little snippets I'm seeing, acting like a total stupid, inept type of person. And I'm thinking, all right, this is for kids. Now, I actually even know women my age, all different ages, that want to see the Barbie movie leading up to this. Now, I start reading about Barbie just in the last 2 weeks. And I have to tell you, this is my opinion, I am calling the new Barbie movie propaganda. It is full of something I don't even like to say. I will use it for shorthand so you understand me. Woke. It's a very woke Barbie. There's a lot of discussion. There's nothing sexual in it. They do imply it, though. And any of the male characters, Ken and the other ones, are portrayed as just totally bumbling idiots. Just men are useless. Men are stupid. We don't need men. That is the message coming out of the Barbie movie. And the Barbie movie, it's very, we're feminist, you know, we're in charge, we make the decisions. Now, I'm all for girls and women's empowerment, but this movie is touted for, you know, bring your 11-year-olds to. I am here to tell you, I can't tell you what age to bring your child to a movie. That is up to you as the parent, as the caregiver. I just want to say, Barbie, you think cute, you think fun, you think hot summer day, let's go to the movies. Look into it, make your own decisions, make your own judgments, and really think about, because the reviews I'm seeing are, well, yeah, we have some of these things, but it'll go right over the children's heads. They won't even realize. I disagree with that kind of tactic. No, I think it opens up the door for things some children aren't ready to see yet. And why even bother? So the Barbie movie, again, everybody, you can see it, you cannot see it, you can talk about it, you cannot talk about it. That's why we live in America. We all have an opinion. We should be allowed to express it. But this movie is getting a lot of hype and a lot of love. And you know, there's a little old film that opened up on the 4th of July called Sound of Freedom. Now, I am calling the Barbie movie propaganda. That is me. I am calling Sound of Freedom the truth. This is a movie, tough subject, true subject, about child sex trafficking. We don't have enough information in the media, online, in the entertainment business dealing with this subject matter. And sure, we've had movies like Taken with Liam Neeson. We've had, I don't know, Pretty Woman, but you can't really compare that. That was a glossed up version of, you know, be a hooker and you'll end up with Prince Charming, when we know from studies that 97% of people in the sex trade are forced, coerced. And that is a definition of human trafficking. And they don't end up with a Prince Charming. So ending up, you know, like Julia Roberts shopping on Rodeo Drive in Beverly Hills and running away with your prince, I am here to say, I'm sorry to burst the bubble, that rarely, if ever, truly happens. Sound of Freedom isn't bothering anybody. It is a movie financed by Angel Studios. Very smartly, knowing the subject matter, they came up with a plan called the Pay It Forward Plan. And the Pay It Forward Plan is you can buy a ticket and you can also buy a ticket for somebody else. You just purchase it, it goes in the pot, and they leave it there. Now, if you want to go see the movie, you buy a ticket. But if you can't afford a ticket, you can get your free ticket. You just sign up for it. It's very easy. And the movie opened, I went on 4th of July, opening day, because I will not talk about anything really unless I see it, which means, everybody, I'm going to have to go actually see the Barbie movie so I can make further analysis. With that being said, though, I did rush out to see Sound of Freedom. Theater was packed, hot summer day. People sat silent. You know, I always watch an audience. That's how I judge things. And I just thought, they're soaking in the message. Now, although Sound of Freedom is about two children and their father wanted better for them, and it takes place in another country, so we're dealing with Mexico and Colombia primarily, not the United States. The single father, there was no mention of a mother, talk of a mother. The little girl was approached by a woman, and the woman said, oh, I heard you singing in the village and you have a beautiful voice, typical. And she begged her dad, you know, meet this woman and let me sign up for her talent classes. She wants me to be a model, a singer. This is a common thing. Poor, vulnerable people, this is what they do to their children. And the little girl had a brother. And the woman said, bring the brother along. The father brings him to this building, apartments. The woman says, no, this is just for all the children. And she had maybe a dozen children in the room. And I don't want to ruin the plot, everybody, but you have to understand what's going on here. And he goes to pick them up at nighttime. Not there. Building's dark. Nobody's answering the door. And he's looking for the children. And that begins the whole story of Tim Ballard, who is now the founder of Operation Underground Railroad here in the United States and across the world, looking for children. He worked as an agent, Homeland Security, in the United States for a decade, catching the predators. And one day he said to himself, but what about the kids? What happens to the kids? And this led him to step away from that job, go out on his own because nobody would support him, and find the children. And again, it's a Hollywood story, but it's taking a lot of flack. It's taking a lot of horrific reviews. There was nothing for about 2 days because I was following it when it opened on July 4th. And then all of a sudden, it's like everybody got their marching papers. We don't want this movie. This is a horrible movie. It's exploitive. It is crazy people. Jim Caviezel, who played the actor Jesus, Passion of the Christ. I don't know if anybody remembers that from 2004. Financed by Mel Gibson. He's now playing Tim Ballard. And all, it's a family program, but all H broke loose. Knocking, knocking, knocking this movie. The goal of the film producers, the actors who came together, they got their own self-financing together. 5 years ago, the movie was made, everybody, and it was bought by Disney, and then Disney shelved it. They would not show the movie, and then COVID happened. And somehow, miraculously, Angel Studios was able 5 years later to pick up the rights and put this movie out. People need to know about human trafficking. People need to know about child sex trafficking. It is the reality. It is the number one moneymaker next to drugs. That's what law enforcement tells me. I'm not making that up. Now we have international arms dealers, arms trafficking. Law enforcement tells me it's right up there rivaling. Easy to make money off of vulnerable people, off of vulnerable children. So this movie is pointing out, very well done, not salacious, that this happens, that we need to wake up, we need to open our eyes, we need to start just talking about it. That is the goal of the movie, just talking about it. The movie's harming nobody. Why is there such backlash? Why is there such push? Why are there such negative comments? Why are people being attacked? I don't hear anybody in Hollywood. A couple of the actors working on the film are stepping up and talking about the film. Certainly Jim Caviezel, who plays Tim Ballard himself. This film doesn't bother anybody. Don't go to it if you don't want to see it. But don't knock it, because it's putting out a human interest story that happens to be reality. So I'm going to tell you, Barbie propaganda, Sound of Freedom truth. Again, go see it. If you want, do your research. That's what I always say. Always go to lindswarriors.org, find information. I'm on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. See what I put out there. You make up your own mind. That's what we're here for. We're Americans. You can do what you want. If you can't afford a ticket, don't worry about it. Go online, Angel Studios. Just get the free ticket. Or don't do anything, but leave the movie alone. Because nobody's out there bashing Barbie right now. But they're, which by the way, is a made-up doll movie. But we have this real human interest story. The reality of human trafficking happening in every town, city, and rural area in the United States. And also around the globe. So we have to talk about it. First step in solving something, abolishing something, is talking about it, is raising awareness, education, providing resources. That's what we have to do. Warriors, when we return, we have a very special guest. Madeline McElligott is joining us from the National Center on Sexual Exploitation. We're going to continue the conversation because we are going to talk about what the predators are doing online and how they are going after your kids. All this and more on Lynn's Warriors when we return. This is today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
You should hear what Steve Hook is talking about.
Yesterday, if you watched any of the hearing, the testimony from the two IRS whistleblowers, Gary Shapley, of course, had come out publicly about a month or so ago, but now we've got Joseph Ziegler, who also came out, and literally came out. I mean, he'd outed himself as a gay man years ago, but this is very telling, I think. It was he himself that felt it necessary to out himself as a registered Democrat and a gay man married to a loving husband, okay? Now, why do you think he would do that? Well, he was doing it to try and, you know, rebuff some of the pushback he was going to get, that he knew he was going to get from the left, from the media, from the ladies on The View, as if that has any relevance, but apparently it does. And so he felt that he needed to kind of make that message very clear right up front on who he was and what he was about. And in doing that, he also made it abundantly clear that what he was saying was, look, I'm doing this for all the right reasons. I'm doing this because it's the honest thing to do. Well, that just will not do to the machine. mean to the Leviathan, whether it's the media, whether it's big tech, whoever it is, they don't like the man. They don't respect his sexual identity. They don't respect his political identity because he's hurting their cause, namely the most corrupt president in the history of the United States.
Steve Hook and today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Affordable housing, we can build that. Sustainable housing, we can build that. At MIT Modular, we understand the importance of housing for all and the importance of design, cost, and functionality. Our goal is to meet the needs of our growing population by converting shipping containers to livable units. If you're like-minded and in a position to invest in something meaningful and life-changing, we want to hear from you. We are a team of professional architects, engineers, and financial and tax experts dedicated to offering unique solutions that provide a brighter future. Our Opportunity Zone Fund offers investors both real estate and operating business diversification, 5-year tax deferral on capital gains, annual tax benefits, and ultimately tax-free appreciation potential. There are Opportunity Zones all over America. If you're interested in learning more about our services, need affordable housing, or want to participate in creating a new vision for tomorrow, give us a call in the U.S. on 385-985-5702. Or read more at mitmodular.com. MIT Modular. We can build that.
You're with Lynn Shaw on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Madeline McGillicutt joins us right now. It is an honor to welcome her to the Warriors. There is never enough discussion about kids and online safety. Well, today we have one of the foremost experts with us, everybody. Madeline is the communications and social media specialist at the National Center on Sexual Exploitation in Washington, D.C. You can follow Madeline and the great work of the National Center at endsexualexploitation.org and also at NCOSC. That's NCOSC, everybody, National Center on Sexual Exploitation. Welcome, Madeline, to the Warriors.
Hi there. Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Well, thank you for joining us today. Let's go. We have a lot to discuss. First of all, I want to ask you, how did you, Madeline, how did you start this journey? Because it's a heavy journey, working, wanting to work, social media, number one, but also the whole subject of online predation, kids keeping safe. How did you get started with all this? And how did you get started with the National Center?
Yeah. So I have been working with NCOSC for about a year and a half now, and I always kind of knew that I wanted to do something in marketing and communications. I've always enjoyed content creation and the process of creating social media content. So that part was pretty easy for me to decide, but I also knew that I kind of wanted to do something that had a deeper meaning and would make a difference in the world. So I saw this open position at NCOSC and learned more about everything that the National Center on Sexual Exploitation stands for and does, and, you know, how they're approaching these issues and how they're coming up with solutions to them. And I just knew that I had to be a part of it.
You know, the Warriors, we're partnered with the National Center. And wait, first of all, should I call you? Would you like me to call you Maddie, or do you like to go by Madeline?
Maddie's actually fine. I feel like that's a little bit easier.
Okay. Maddie. I'm going to call you Maddie then. You know, there's so many stories, so many things happening. I feel like on a daily basis, it's really opened up about all of this exploitation. Certainly, everybody being online, we're seeing more things, we're hearing more things. As we're sitting here talking together, more children are being exploited. Let's talk a little bit, lay out a little bit the landscape of the internet in 2023. What we need. I'm going to let you have the floor because there's just so much we can talk about. But what's happening? Because, again, I think there's never enough talk about it, discussion, information put out there, and then easy resources for parents or caregivers to try to curb any type of predation, you know, safety issues. So give us your thoughts right now. What's going on? What's the landscape online for kids?
Sure. So, you know, I don't think it's a surprise to anybody to hear that we do live in such a digital age. You know, technology is involved in every aspect of every day, pretty much. And, you know, reports have shown that there are 97% of children use social media and the internet every day. And, you know, kids, the average age of a child receiving a smartphone is 11, I believe. And unfortunately, there was a report that said that one out of three youth between the ages of 9 and 17 reported having a sexual interaction on social media. So although the internet and social media, you know, there are a lot of great things about it. It helps us connect with one another. It, you know, helps us learn about things that we're interested in and really dive into our passions. There are people with bad intentions that are going to take advantage of it. And that stat that I just shared, the one out of three youth reporting having a sexual interaction on social media, I think really speaks to that.
You know, I think, Maddie, it's good that the more we keep talking about this, it's ugly, it's dark, we know all this, but I'm sitting in the middle of New York City, and I talk about this all day long. Mm-hmm. People are still amazed, Maddie, when I give them some of these facts. Like they just seem to be in the dark. And I realize people don't, you know, unless it happens to you directly or a situation with your child, you don't want to really approach it. But we have to take this head on now, especially we're going into AI. We haven't even figured out how to keep the internet right now, Facebook, Twitter, all these platforms. We have to talk about it. We have to get people to open up. That reminds me, like, let's talk a little bit about AI. What are you hearing about all of that? Because right now I talk to a lot of tech experts, and I know I'm jumping ahead a little bit, but that's what I do. I'm very scared of it. And I'm not a scared person, because if we're not helping our kids now enough stay safe or educating enough, then the AI will just be out of control. Are you at the center talking at all about AI or not yet?
Yeah, no, we're definitely keeping an eye and keeping a pulse on artificial intelligence. It's something that's developing rapidly. Again, there are a lot of opportunities with that. There are a lot of great things that come along with that. But unfortunately, it's not being developed with child safety as a priority, which is a really big problem. I think one good example of that is recently Snapchat integrated an AI chatbot that just automatically popped up on all accounts. And some researchers at the Center for Humane Technology started chatting with it. I believe there was a Washington Post article outlining all this published back in March. And, you know, the chatbot, they were conversing with it and said that, you know, they were posing as a child. They were posing as a 13-year-old kid. They told the chatbot that. And throughout the conversation, the person revealed that, you know, who they were posing as, again, a 13-year-old child. They told the chatbot that they were planning to have sex with an 18-year-old, and the chatbot gave them tips on how to set, you know, a romantic mood. So that's just one example about how dangerous this AI can get so quickly. And it's really concerning that, you know, it's not being developed with child safety as a priority.
No. And here's the analogy, Maddie, I always use. It's like, I try to make it very simple for people, like not overwhelm them when I first meet them, because I could just be screaming at everybody, like, wake up, you got to take, you know, it's like opening your front door and just welcoming in the world. If you give your child a phone, you know, any of the devices, and we don't do that. We lock our doors, right? We put guardrails on. And another thing I want to make sure, the internet is wonderful. We're not giving it back. This digital world is not going away. And let's leverage it for good, right? But that comes in 2023 with putting on the guardrails, talking about safety features and filters. But the number one thing, and this is the hurdle, maybe you can help me, Maddie, with this one. Parents have to age appropriately talk to their kids, because again, you, me, we can't tell people, the National Center, you know, what age to get a device for your child. So if they're going to get a device, I'm starting to get very tough, Maddie, on this, then you have to parent up and you have to really talk to the kids about what is going on and kind of form this family digital partnership where you're all involved. It's not like you versus them in the household. It's together. Let's have a partnership. What do you think about that? Speak about that a little bit.
Yeah, that's definitely a big part of child online safety. Like you just said, having age-appropriate conversations with your children about, you know, the very real dangers that they can be facing on social media. It's kind of like giving them the tools that they'll need should they ever find themselves in a situation that's might be a little bit dangerous for them. And also, you know, teaching what a healthy relationship looks like with technology, you know, setting certain boundaries in your home, you know, perhaps there should be a no phones in the bedroom rule so kids can't sneak their phones in and, you know, be chatting at night. So things like that, I think, are very practical and common sense and can help, you know, instill, like I said, healthy boundaries with technology and give kids the tools that they need to handle any situations that they might find themselves in.
I mean, absolutely. Because again, as we're sitting here, Maddie, there's probably 3 new apps, 5 new platforms. They're just popping up left and right. And people always say to me, well, I don't understand all that. It's because there's a lot of money. That's the answer to everything, you know, follow the money. Why does this predation happen? There's a lot of money being made. There's a lot of, let's go with children right now. We definitely have a well-documented youth mental health crisis. We know during COVID, I don't even want to bring that up, but everybody was on their phones and laptops. And that's where a lot of parents for the first time really started to understand, oh, this predation's happening. Or the kids were so vulnerable during that upheaval that they were turning to people online. So I think implementing, like you said, no phones in the bedroom, there's a couple of little, like kids will scream, especially the teenagers, but we do a lot of focus groups. After 2 weeks, they kind of get over it. They kind of like not having phones in the bedrooms. They can sleep. But I also think the parents have to, you know, be a role model. So I suggest things like, I don't care if it's an hour a day, everybody puts the phones away. You know, check your child's Instagram or Facebook. There's no reason. We got to start locking them down. You know, it should be friends and family, just little things like that. What are you hearing lately about the youth mental health crisis in conjunction with online?
Yeah, well, I would also just add to what you just said about kind of having like healthy examples within the family. Also, you know, talk with your kids every few months, just check in and say like, hey, like, have you seen anything online? Have you had any like odd interactions? So I would also recommend like proactively having those conversations with your kids and checking in and asking directly about these issues. But yes, as it relates to the child mental health crisis, I feel like we hear news report every day. And there are some really unfortunate stories out there about kids falling into not just sexual exploitation, but also, you know, being fed content about eating disorders or experiencing cyberbullying. You know, you can do one quick Google search and find a recent news article about a child experiencing that. And, you know, unfortunately, it's led to some children losing their lives because of it. So it is a very real problem. And, you know, they all kind of overlap to some extent. So it's definitely something to be, you know, keeping an eye on, being aware of. And like you mentioned before, it's uncomfortable. It doesn't feel great, but you have to know the reality of what our kids are facing every day.
Well, Maddie, we have to be uncomfortable. I'll tell you why, because we have all the studies and we don't have time to go into them. We know by the age of 11 that most children have seen hardcore porn. Okay. Mm-hmm. We know even if you do everything right in your own home, talk to your kids, when kids are together, group think, you know, their friend might show them things on their phone. Okay. So it's really about getting at the child and educating them, again, being smart. And that's why I keep talking about trying to empower everybody to form these family partnerships, right? Keep the predators out kind of thing. And we want the kids to come to us and talk, because I've had a couple of parents, they react, you know, they scream or something like that if they see a nude image. We have to realize that the kids don't think anything of this. High school, middle school, they exchange nude images. They don't really think there's anything wrong. Everybody's doing it. So that's where we have to step in and overcome and empower. No, that's not correct, because we know within 48 hours, they can be groomed. We also know, I don't know what figures you have, Maddie. I have things like 1 in 4, 1 in 5 kids will be approached. Then 40% of them will actually go out and try to meet that person in real time. So this is something that we have to talk about nonstop, almost on a daily basis. So we have to brainwash our kids into what's going on. Let me ask you about, the kids all seem to be on Snapchat, TikTok, and YouTube. That seems to be the 3 big ones. What do you recommend about those 3 platforms age-wise? What does the center say? again, it's tough because it's up to parents, but the older, the better. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, Nicozy doesn't provide any sort of strict kind of age recommendation as far as, you know, when to get on certain apps, but always, you know, we work closely with an organization called Protect Young Eyes, and Chris McKenna there says delay is the way. So, you know, delaying the age for kids to get on any social media platform is always the best. You know, the older someone is, the more prepared that they'll be to handle any sort of inappropriate situations. So delay is the way, but the National Center on Sexual Exploitation doesn't have any hard and fast kind of age recommendation, because at the end of the day, every child's different, every family's different. So, you know, we don't have any specific recommendations as far as that goes.
No. Yeah. I mean, no, you can't, because it's again, it's parental autonomy. The parents can do what they want. By the way, I love Chris McKenna. He's a partner of ours. He is the best, everybody. I don't mind, Maddie. I don't think you will either. I just want to throw out his website, protectyoungeyes.com, and just wonderful tech information, little nuggets of things that are easy to digest and understand. Now, I want to get back to the center, because something I love, and I talk to your colleague, Lena, every year when the campaign comes out, is the Dirty Dozen list. Okay. Mm-hmm. Tell us about the Dirty Dozen list, because this is an easy way. We need warriors, Maddie. We need everybody to do something. And this is one of the easiest ways for everybody to step up, add their two cents, and help fight all of this exploitation. So tell us a little bit about the Dirty Dozen list.
Yeah. So the Dirty Dozen list is an annual campaign that the National Center on Sexual Exploitation does. So each year we come out with 12 corporations, 12 mainstream contributors to sexual exploitation. The 2023 list was revealed in May, and it has organizations including Instagram, Snapchat, which you mentioned, Discord, Twitter, even Spotify is on this year's list. And this isn't a top 12 list of the worst facilitators per se, but it does call out 12 mainstream entities that facilitate, enable, or even profit from sexual abuse and exploitation in one way or another. And one of my favorite parts about the campaign is it really does give people very easy action steps to make their voice heard and to make a difference. So if you go to dirtydozenlist.com, you'll be able to see all of this year's corporate targets. You'll be able to learn about why they're on the Dirty Dozen list, the changes that we're requesting, and then you're actually able to take action. So some of them are putting your name on a petition. Some of them are sending an email to executives or shareholders demanding that these companies make a change and change their policies that, and stop facilitating exploitation. So again, this campaign launched in May of this year, and already we have some victories. You know, Reddit recently updated its child safety policy, and it answered a lot of concerns that were raised by Nicozy. Discord did as well. They made some updates as far as their child safety policies go. So this campaign really does make a difference. There are many, many victories that have come of it. And like I said, those two, they're pretty major, and they just happened, you know, in the past few weeks, and the campaign's only been live since May. So I really love this campaign. And I think it's just a great way for people to get involved and be able to see the tangible changes that their actions are making.
I mean, Maddie, I give out this campaign almost on a daily basis, because again, if we do the heavy lifting, we'll get more people to come along and help us. And we know that names and numbers count with these entities, with these organizations, with these companies. And that's when they'll step up and start to say, okay, we got to start changing. We've got to start making a difference. So I know Reddit, I know Snapchat, I know over the past few years, there've been some major victories. And again, everybody, please help. DirtyDozenList.com. The work is done for you. You add your name, you hit the send button, it's right there for you. I want to talk about, what are you witnessing most right now? What's the number one thing? We have a lot of legislation right now pending in Washington. I know Nicozy's behind Earn It Act. We've got a couple of other things. We've got the Stop CSAM Act. What's happening right now that you want to share with us?
Yeah, I mean, there are so many child safety bills floating around Congress right now, and we are really urging Congress to be the Child Protection Congress. This is their opportunity. You just mentioned a few bills that have been reintroduced this year, the Earn It Act, the Stop CSAM Act. The Kids Online Safety Act is another one that we are really advocating for. You know, it encourages tech companies to create a duty of care and to enable default safety settings and to introduce some transparency standards that not only protect kids from sexual exploitation, but other harms introduced by social media. A few I mentioned before, you know, content that promotes eating disorders or suicide. And there are quite a few other child protection bills out there right now. So Congress has the chance to be the Child Protection Congress. I guess we'll see if they make that happen, if they can step up to the plate. But again, Nicosi has some really easy action forms where you can actually contact your legislators and urge them to pass these bills. So to learn more, people can go to endsexualexploitation.org. If they go to endsexualexploitation.org/earnit, they'll be directed directly to an action form for that bill specifically. And they can also learn about others on that website as well.
And they have to. I mean, people have to take action. Again, Maddie, it's numbers count. I always tell people that. They're like, nobody listens to me. No, they will listen if they get enough people interested in all of this. And people have to also understand, I think it's very important to point out, all of these child protection issues, everything we're talking about, these bills in particular, bipartisan. They belong to they belong to no political party. We have, sponsoring them, Democrat and Republican, the top of the bills. We are working in tandem, hand in hand, to get the number one thing done, which is child safety. So this 118th Congress, they have a lot sitting there. We just got to get it, Maddie, over that finish line. I feel like once we get one of them over, the others are all going to like kind of pile on after them, because there are too many good bills. There are too many people involved, and it's just time. I think everybody's recognizing finally the dangers of online. We've seen it. We know it. We have the studies. So we've got to keep our fingers crossed. But again, as Maddie pointed out, go to endsexualexploitation.org. You can find these bills. You can find how to sign on. Very easy. Finish this up, Maddie. What is your number one concern right now? Like either what you want to work on, what Nicosi's working on. Give us the direction of what's happening.
Yeah, well, I think we chatted about a lot of it, but both corporate responsibility and, you know, big tech responsibility. We were chatting earlier about what parents can do. They can have conversations with their kids. They can, make sure that they're prepared to handle inappropriate situations online. But that's only half of it. You know, there are a lot of kids who don't have involved parents watching them and making sure that parental controls and safety settings are turned on. They have just as much access to social media and the internet as kids with very involved families. Corporations and these tech companies, they have a responsibility too to create platforms designed to protect its youngest users. And so that's where campaigns like the Dirty Dozen List come in. That's where legislation like the Earn It Act and the Kids Online Safety Act come in. So it's really important to have a holistic approach to these child safety issues. Even outside of your own family and outside of your own kids. And that's why taking these online actions are so important. Like you said, numbers matter. We hear from these companies that, every petition signature matters. When their own users are reaching out to them, asking them to change, that makes a difference at these companies. Contacting your legislators, making sure that they know that this is a priority for their constituents. That's very important as well. So I guess just that everyone has a very holistic approach to these issues because they are so pervasive. Kids are dealing with it every day. And so we need to kind of attack these problems from all angles. And it's really important that people understand that and then also have the opportunity to do that.
Very well said, Maddie. I think right now, I keep saying this lately, you know, we're in this culture shift. And I think it's this fork in the road. And we have to all push. All of us have to be involved and go in the right direction. I want to remind everybody, House.gov, Senate.gov, you pay taxes. These are your elected representatives, everybody. You can contact them. You'll find their email, their phone number, their mailing address. You got to go for it. You got to use your voice because community creates change. Give us some final thoughts, Maddie. What do you want to say before I have to let you go?
Well, thank you so much for having me today. I think this was a great conversation. I hope that people learned more about it. And, you know, it is uncomfortable. It is disturbing. It's unsettling, but it's a very important conversation to have. So I hope that people are inspired to go take action and to learn more about these issues. And they can find all the information they need, from stats to research points to stories to action forums, at endsexualexploitation.org.
Perfect. And also on Twitter at NCOSC. If you do nothing out there, warriors, go to the Twitter account and just retweet. And that's leveraging the internet for good. Well, Maddie, what can I say? You know, thank you so much for joining us today. You are, I'm going to say you're a warrior. Yeah. You're a warrior. I'm so happy. I'm calling you a warrior. You're part of our warrior club now. I'm so happy you joined us. No, you're a warrior. And you shared your expertise and you gave us a feeling for the online landscape that's changing on a daily basis. Safety tips. You're really the boots on the ground doing the real work. Please keep speaking up. Please keep your great work up at Nicozy. They're very lucky to have you. I want to throw that in because that's what I think. We will speak again soon. Thank you, Maddie McElligott. You are a true warrior.
Thanks so much, Lynn. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. This is today's News Talk TNT Radio.
De-weaponizing weather with reality and perspective.
We've got some really interesting things going on. I saw a tweet today where apparently the latest thing to really push how hot it is to measure surface temperatures, not to measure the air temperature, to measure surface temperatures. Now, this is very interesting. I'm 68 years old now. I knew from when I was 3 or 4 years old what would happen on a summer day if I walked, let's say, even on the sidewalk. If I walked on the blacktop, I'd be popping any corns on my feet. It was so hot. I mean, you can actually, even from when I was a kid, you could actually try to cook things on a blacktop down where I lived in Texas. I'll tell you one thing. I used to get those magnifying glasses and go after the red ants down in Texas. What? That's a good idea. Let's start figuring out what the temperature is if we put a giant magnifying glass over a surface and let's measure it. Let's talk about some cooler areas. Europe, I'm sure a lot of you are not going to be happy because so much cool air is spreading across Europe that basically the core of your summer is done. Now I understand it's hot in Italy and it's hot in Greece, okay? But from the UK eastward and it's spreading southward, boy, I'll tell you what, this is one heck of a cool shot at this time of the year. Do you know that New York City has not officially had a heat wave yet this summer? That's right, 3 straight days of 90 degrees. Of course, with the way things are today, 3 straight days of 80 degrees is a heat wave. But in any case, unless we hit 3 straight days of 90 in New York this upcoming weekend, actually next weekend, you could probably kiss the heat wave goodbye because very cool air will be pouring into the northeastern part of the United States after that. Meanwhile, the west and central part of the United States, guess what? It's summer and it's hot. That's it for now. This is TNT Climate and Weather Watchdog meteorologist Joe Bastardi asking you to enjoy the weather. It's the only weather you've got.
Challenging the consensus and debunking the narrative. This is Viewpoint.
Don't be fooled by so-called green steel made by using hydrogen rather than coal. This fraud will force up the price of steel for no environmental gain. Moving to unproven hydrogen technology will require expensive refits or replacement of steel manufacturing infrastructure. Since steel is used widely in construction and manufacturing, the costs will be enormous, just to satisfy nonsense net zero carbon goals, which denies nature-enhanced photosynthesis from the gas of life. The critics are not just conservatives. Jenny George, former Labour MP and president of the Australian Council of Trade Unions, has described the net zero emissions approach as a region's job killer, has scorned the false promises of green tech energy and ridiculed, quote, the mantra of green steel, unquote. The World Economic Forum backs the Net Zero Steel Initiative through its Mission Possible partnership. This threatens steel producers who don't swallow the net carbon zero swindle.
There is a war on for your children. Children are under attack at every level and on every front, from the government big tech, education, medical, Hollywood, and society. This is Lynn's Warriors with Lynn Shaw on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Let's do it, Warriors. The clock is ticking and always my enemy. This is your weekly Warrior wrap-up. We just heard from Maddie McElligott from the National Center on Sexual Exploitation in Washington, D.C. She handles their communication. She handles their online, their accounts. She handles working with the DirtyDozenList.com. I'm going to keep saying that until you'll go to sleep thinking about it. You'll wake up thinking about it. DirtyDozenList.com. Again, 12 entities, corporations that are not working hard enough to protect our kids or are displaying exploitation, and they need to step up. Maddie pointed something very important out. She said corporate, you know, responsibility. Because we've seen that they haven't done a very good job in the last, I'd say about two decades. You know, why should a parent on an Apple iPhone have to go through 31 steps to figure out how to put on their child's phone, for instance, the safety features? Because by step 10 or 11, because I work with a lot of parents, they give up. I dare say that is the goal of a company. They give up because remember, they want eyeballs. They want scrolling. They want you on that device. That is their bottom line. They want eyes. They want to make money. And if you're going to tie that up somehow, they don't like it. So they make it a little difficult for you. This is an easy kind of way to put it. But the truth of the matter is every single one of you has to step up and take action. Again, you have that duty. If you give the device, I dare say you bought the device, you pay for the internet, you pay for your router. You have to take action. I can't say it any more clearly. For instance, 2 days ago, let me point out some reasons I'm telling you how crucial and critical all this information is. The DOJ, our Department of Justice in Washington, D.C., and they've been so much in the news today and yesterday, but that's for another program. They took their section on their website of child sex trafficking. And guess what they did, everybody? They scrubbed it. They removed most of the content that has been there for years, gets updated on a yearly basis, and nobody can understand why. They removed the entire section about domestic child sex trafficking. And nobody has answers. I'm asking people in Washington, but they're not answering me. They'll say, well, I don't know. Why would the Department of Justice do something like that? An informational website where people turn for what is supposed to be our leaders, you know, in the government, giving out the information, whether it goes to individuals, it goes to groups or nonprofits. That's where people go. It's a landing spot to get information. Well, they scrubbed most of the trafficking information a couple of days ago off the website. That is very troublesome. It's also very troublesome. My mind can't help it. We have open borders. That is the reality. Right now, nobody's talking about it at all. More people are coming over our borders any other time. The optics, you're not seeing the visuals, you're not seeing it in the mainstream news because they're not covering it. You're not talking about it online because nobody else is. The truth of the matter is we work with law enforcement. There is an app now. People are registering in their countries. So all they have to do, they're all pre-registered. When they get to the border, just turn themselves in. That's it. But it's a very highly managed optics. They're coming in groups 150 to 200 at a time. Do you know this? Because most people I talk to don't know anything about it. And then they're immediately dispersed into every single state within the United States. You hear a lot about, okay, buses where I am in New York. You're hearing about buses going, you know, some other places. Very quiet, going to all the states. And when you think open borders don't matter, I'll tell you why they matter. Because the Biden administration admitted a couple of months ago that they lost. They can't account for 85,000 children. Then I heard 86. Then I heard 87. We don't know. If it's one child, that's one child too many. That was about 3 months ago. We know the numbers are higher. These are unaccompanied children coming into the United States. Where are they going? I ask you, where are all these unaccompanied children? Is this a reason perhaps the DOJ scrubbed the website? They don't want to have anything related to this criminality going on. And this is just my opinion happening. I keep asking people all over, do you see these children? Are they showing up? We do know across the country, a lot of them are showing up looking for work. in dangerous places like meatpacking factories, lumber yards, all kinds of warehouses, and saying they have to work and send money home, or they have to work. When they say that, most of the time it's to pay off their trafficker, which is the whole border is being run by cartels right now. So we have to open our eyes. Doesn't matter where these children came from. These are children. Then we have our children being approached, predation online. We've got to keep our eyes open. We have to understand the United States is not the United States of a couple of years ago. That is the sad, true reality of what's going on. But we have to take control. We still have the greatest country in the world, in my opinion. We still have a lot of freedoms. When people say our freedoms are being taken away, I will say to them, go to China, where we do work with the Uyghurs and some of the other countries, and you'll see about the freedoms. But with all this being said, we have the freedom to go online. We have the freedom to own telephones. You know, we have the economy. We have all these things, but we have to protect the kids, because today the kids are the product. And that has been going on for almost two decades now, but it's really ramping up. So I want all of you, you've got to make this pledge. You know, again, I mentioned with Maddie, our guest, going into artificial intelligence, a big question mark. And what's so frightening about artificial intelligence is it's already here. We've already seen it over the years, you know, little storybooks and the voices come out. That's actually a form of artificial intelligence. But I want to tell you what's more frightening. And this is Meta, M-E-T-A, which everybody should know by now is just the new name for Facebook and Instagram. Same company, everybody, Mark Zuckerberg. But they have little sex bots already on Facebook and Instagram. Did you know that? And here's an example of what they're doing with the bots. They're using them for sex. Now, we know this is a family show, but these are the type of things you got to know. You got to know what to look for. You got to know what to talk to your children about. So here's the story. Meta's new AI lets people make chatbots. This is from June 25th, just a couple of weeks ago, right? Allie is an 18-year-old with long brown hair who boasts tons of sexual experience because she lives for attention. She'll share details of her escapades with anyone for free. But Allie is fake. She's artificial intelligence. She's a chatbot created for sexual play, which sometimes carries out graphic rape and abuse fantasies. While firms like OpenAI, Microsoft, and Google rigorously train their AI models to avoid a host of taboos, including overly intimate conversations, Allie was built using an open source technology, code that's freely available to the public and has no restrictions, based on a model created by Meta, everybody, Facebook and Instagram, called LLAMA, L-L-A-M-A. Allie is part of a rising tide of specialized AI products anyone can build, from writing tools to chatbots to data analysis applications. The problem, warriors, slippery slope here. Can't shut down the internet, right? But advocates see this open source AI as a way around corporate control, certainly a boon to entrepreneurs, academics, artists, and activists who want to experiment and freely create and transform technology. We're all for that. But the overall argument for open source is that it accelerates innovation in AI. We can agree with that. But at the same time, our kids are not safe online. And I think after the last couple of years, we have learned that the platforms are designed with dangerous algorithms. They're going after our kids. The kids are receiving misinformation, disinformation, as we all are, but let's focus on the kids right now. And we have to take control. And there are certain things. There's great companies like Bark, BARK.US, which you can line up your child's phone with your phone and get alerts if there's something inappropriate that comes. And we're talking, again, there's different programs, you know, for 4 to 8-year-olds. Then there's, I don't know why a 4-year-old would have a phone, but again, it's up to the parent. And then there are programs for 9 to 17-year-olds. You got to start looking into these things. There's also Gab, a company I love, GABB.com. Looks just like an Apple Watch, looks just like a phone. They are phones and Apple Watches, but they only have, they do not have internet. They have texting capabilities, phone capabilities to call mom, dad, and you're in control. And this way the kids don't feel left out, because frankly, most 15-year-olds today have a phone. And we have studies that show us there's more harm caused if your child doesn't have a phone because everybody else has one. So everybody, I can't urge you enough. We started out with Barbie. We went into Sound of Freedom. Go see Sound of Freedom. Get your free ticket online, Angel Studios. Always follow lenswarriors.org. I named everything Lens Warriors to make it simple. YouTube, SoundCloud, Twitter. We're doing the work for you. Keep an eye on this culture shift I'm talking about, because in 2023, it is here. AI is not coming. AI is here. And to our great friends and partners at the National Center on Sexual Exploitation, we couldn't do our job as warriors without you as our partners. A great big shout out to them. They work on policy. They work on education in Washington, pushing this forth with our elected officials. So kids are being sexually normalized. Communities are becoming habituated. We got to break it up, because you don't want your child saying, I leave you with this, I want to be a prostitute when I grow up. I want to be a sex worker. That is wrong, but that is the goal happening right now. Take it from me, because I know. Remember, everybody, it's up to us. Communication with each other and the kids, because nobody's coming to save us. Thank you for listening. Write to us, tntradio.live. We are here for you. Thank you always, Alex, our engineer on the board, for keeping all running smoothly. Ruckus, our great producer, and our entire TNT family for giving us this platform to share with you critical and crucial news, information, take actions, resources that you need to know. Until we meet again, this is Lynn's Warriors on today's News Talk, TNT Radio. Remember, today and every day, it is 2023. We can no longer everybody sit on the sidelines. It's time to take action. Engage, educate, empower first yourselves and then your kids. Community creates change. Now go out and be a